All right, here we go. Into the third minute. We're still scoreless. Low scoring game. No, I'm just kidding. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I am watching the Game Day Garage live stream right now. Yes, shameless plug. I don't care. Rob Brown looks incredible. You can find that on YouTube and X. Just the best outfit ever. It's literally going to be a watch along with him through this game as well. So you can listen to us and you can watch him all at the same time. And then watch the game. Everybody has multiple screens now anyway. I mean, this is how this whole thing goes. Yes, I don't care. I'm going to shamelessly plug that constantly because this is how it works. Oh yeah. So here's the tough part. So this is what I was told by Wes, who has given me direction now. I like this. You're growing up as a producer, Wes. You are maturing. You're getting assertive. As I said, tell me what we need. It's very important. That's part of the dynamic of this stuff. I am not allowed to react until we play the highlight. So that's going to be a pain in my ass if the U.S. scores. But I will do my best because I'm a professional. And PJ, as you know, we've done quite a few live reaction shows over the years, haven't we?
We sure have.
Games.
Yeah, Nick, when we were doing the last show together, they were playing Australia, I believe, and you guys were doing an interview, and we were going nuts in the other room.
Yes.
And credit to you for keeping your cool.
Yes.
But it definitely is very hard.
Yeah, I think Zabe and I had, it might have been Chris Miles at that point. I can't remember who we had. But yeah, it was tough because it was like, okay, we're going to go back to that.
Right.
And because it's one thing if it's just us, but it's another if you've got, like, you know, a guest on. You don't want to interrupt him if you're talking about something different. So yeah, I will do my best. But we are into the, here we are. We're scoreless, in case anybody's wondering. Look, here's the thing. I know everybody makes jokes about, like, scoring in soccer and all that, but it clearly doesn't hold the game back. Like, really, that's what it is, the most popular game in the world. I had a friend of mine, and this was kind of him trolling, but it's like, so he's a huge, huge soccer fan. Like, you know, far beyond, not just like understands the game, but, you know, like diehard fan, goes to all the DC United games, you know, at beautiful Audi Field. But, you know, he knows that I'm an NFL and NBA guy first. It's just, you know, the sports that I've covered in most of my career and all that. But he sent me this video. Like, I didn't know this. He's like, you know, I know you love the NFL, but you should think about soccer more. Like I've even insulted it. I love the game. I think it's great. But it was all about, like, how much more popular the World Cup is than the Super Bowl around the world. And I was like, dude, I know this. Everybody knows this. Soccer is the most popular game in the entire world, or actual football. But, you know, we can make the jokes about a lack of scoring and all that, but it hasn't hurt the game. Like, it hasn't. I mean, and we've got somebody flopping right now for Bosnia. He's down. He's hurt. I don't know, unless he really got popped. Anybody know if he actually got popped? There's no highlight here. So
no, he did not get popped.
Okay, so it was another fake injury. And that's the thing with the game. Now, I will tell you this. You know, sometimes why guys will lay down. It's too early in the game for this, but a lot of times it's also so everybody just gets a rest. Because you don't really, that's the one thing, man. You got to be in great shape because you're running around a lot. I hated playing midfield growing up because you had to just constantly run. I was like, put me on defense, put me up at striker. I'd do one of the two. That's it. I hated the constant running. You got to be in shape to just play this for, you know, for some guys, full 90 minutes, and you're a midfielder. I mean, you're not stopping. So it's I get that we don't have the scoring, and we're so used to American sports being all about, you know, scoring, right? We've watched every league kind of do whatever they can to speed up the game, to add more scoring, to pull away from the defense. The NFL, it's protecting the quarterback, all that. Score, score, score. Soccer isn't like that, and you don't really get those level of changes where you get to a point where people just understand and enjoy all the little, you know, they call it the beautiful game, all the intricacies, whatever. You know, it's it just makes it more fun. Plus, you can look away for a second and you know that you're probably going to be okay unless they're in somebody's zone or anything along those lines. So, all right, it's scoreless right now. We haven't even gotten to the 10th minute yet, so we got plenty of time. But credit to them, they started this game right at 8 o'clock. I mean, right at 8. And I just wish every league would do that. I actually, you know what, I actually need to vent about this. We need to get better at actually starting games when we're told they're going to start.
Major League Baseball does a good job at it.
Baseball does a good job at it, but once you get to the playoffs, it does drag a little bit more. So that's the thing. Like, the NBA Finals, it's like 8:30 tip, and it's tipping at 8:50. And it's like, I can understand 5 minutes. 20 minutes? I'm sorry. No. College basketball will do the, you know, the national championship game. Like, any of these big events. And I understand there's some strategy there for it as to why. We've got to be better at this. Am I the only one that gets annoyed by this? I feel like old man yelling at cloud here.
No, because every single week when Ohio State is on Big Noon, I tell my dad,
gotta be Ohio State every time.
Hey, Dad, Ohio State is on Big 12:15 this week. Because it's not Big
yeah.
Noon.
Yeah, it's not
it's
at not noon.
Big. It's right. Big 12:30.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing is, again, I understand you want to make sure the audience is there. If they're running late, you want to get everybody there on time. But the thing is, it's about the entire game. It's not even about that moment. A few minutes is good. But, like, if we're sitting here and we're talking about 20 minutes after a game is supposed to start, we're still going through the national anthem. It's exhausting. So I credit them in the World Cup. They get these things started on time when they're supposed to be. It's also because I'm somebody that's just not late. You can't be late doing this. Like, I'm the person that in general in life, I will not be late. I just won't let myself. Time management is a strength of mine. I know that. I'm proud of it. And I don't like to waste other people's time. And I can't stand when games start late. But this didn't. I feel like I'm old man yelling at Cloud a little bit. You made me feel better about this. All right. Peach, it's am annoying. I old man yelling at Cloud?
PJ, oh, do you think he's an old man yelling
at... Oh, do we not have... Can we both have headphones, please, guys?
No, he was just working on the podcast.
Oh, well, that's fine. Well, you got to let me know these things. I'm happy to have both of you guys. It's fun. I don't always get to work with both of you at the same time. So I'm taking advantage of it a little bit here as we sit and, you know... Root for this team together
yeah,
here tonight.
I don't think you're being an old man, Nick. Okay. Not at all. It's truly, you ask any of my boys, I must have said this 55 times. My favorite thing about soccer is that they started on time. It's the greatest.
Okay, so I feel like I'm amongst friends on this then. This is good. We got a little attack here, even though I have to wait until the highlight. You better turn that around quick, Wes, because I'm going to get very upset if I can't react to exactly what's going on with this. But U.S. got an opportunity there. At least inside the 18. All right. So there are a lot of rumors out there right now about what LeBron's going to do, but that has a trickle-down effect in a lot of other areas in the NBA. And, you know, it didn't affect, obviously, Sixers and Celtics. There's a lot of teams that are going to get thrown out. To me, the logical teams are the Heat, the Cavs, and the Warriors. And each one of them is kind of a different situation. But, you know, for a team like the Cavs, and let's also add this with the LeBron thing. Because for LeBron, it sounds like there's going to be a full documentary on his season that's upcoming, which is clearly going to be his last season, and he's got to, you know, get another last dance in there the way Jordan and the Bulls, you know, had that. But you seeing LeBron in any other uniform besides those three just doesn't make any sense to me. Cavs makes the most sense because that's where he started. He's already been there once. He won a championship. The Heat, you know, to go back and play one more season, and you got Giannis there, if the Heat can pull that off, makes sense. The reason why I say the Warriors as that kind of wild card as a team that also makes sense is because that's just kind of this like fun LeBron gets to play with his friends the last ride, and it's the ushering out of an era that the NBA no longer really has where it's super teams and it's all these friends teaming up and big threes and everybody just wanting to play with each other, because the NBA has gotten competitive again more. This younger generation and a lot of these guys that come from overseas as well are also guys that don't want to fall in that category and saw all of the venom that was thrown at players during the 2010 and beyond era in the NBA that LeBron really started. Now, I don't blame anyone for doing it, but it kind of feels like if LeBron were to play for the Warriors, it's one last ride and it's just like playing with Steph and Anthony Davis. Now, the Warriors have been linked to Anthony Davis for a while. We know he doesn't want to play here in D.C. We know he wants to go to a team that's, and I'm going to put it in quotes here, a contender. But here's the thing. The Warriors are not going to win a championship with LeBron re-signing Draymond or whatever it is and Steph and Anthony Davis. Like, they're not getting through the Thunder. They're not getting through the Spurs. They're probably not even getting through the Nuggets, I'd argue, at this point. I just don't think that team's going to be that good at this point. So it makes sense to at least, like, hey, you can go there and you guys can all ride together one last thing. If I'm the Wizards, I mean, I know they've said they're not listening to any offers, allegedly, according to reports. Will Dawkins is a huge fan of AD. We know that, and they're going to say all the right things. There's just no way they're not going to listen to offers. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be offers that are worth making that trade for Anthony Davis now versus early on in the season, let's say, if he's healthy and his stock's a little bit higher. I wouldn't blame the Wizards for hanging on a little bit. You don't need to rush this. But it just doesn't make sense to try and hang on to Anthony Davis with this team that already committed $212 million to Trae Young, and you know you're not going to get a lot from Anthony Davis. You know he doesn't want to be there. And it's not even like an insult. Like, really, it's looking at this Wizards team and saying, they're young, and they're on a different timeline than I am. I always compare it, right? Anthony Davis is the dude that's divorced and 45, going out on dates with 27-year-olds, and they're fun, and it's great, but, you know, they want to stay out till 2 a.m. and party on a Thursday night, and he's like, I'm past that. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play with a young team. He wants to play with a team that's got the same goals as him, is ride out their career and try to win a championship. I don't think he's going to win one with that Warriors team, but It just makes kind of the most sense for that to be the case. And look, if you're the Wizards, if you can get his stock as high as possible, you benefit from that. I mean, you do. It's just a matter of what you get in return, what that stock is. You know, I mean, again, we saw what Jaylen Brown got. Jaylen Brown didn't bring that much in that trade earlier today with the Sixers, right? Like, Paul George, 2 firsts and 2 seconds, and they're not even necessarily great first-round picks. I think one of them is the Clippers, but still, like, there are options for the Wizards here, but you're never going to get Anthony Davis stock at, like, peak Anthony Davis. But what did that even look like? Peak Anthony Davis was when he got traded to the Lakers, and the Lakers gave up half that roster, a ton of picks and young guys, and, you know, that was Anthony Davis in his prime. We saw what happened with the surprise Mavs trade in Luka. And then, you know, we see what happened with the Wizards, and the Wizards still gave up some firsts, but they were different first-round picks. I just think we've kind of overplayed this, like, well, his stock is low. It's not that low. It's just kind of what it is for somebody that's at his stage of his career. You're comparing it to prime Anthony Davis, peak Anthony Davis. I mean, he's been moved a couple of times that you could argue, oh, he didn't play at all last year. He was barely healthy. Well, he was also sitting at the end of the season. So the Wizards can kind of play behind that. Like, hey, you know, everybody knew what we were doing. You're having private conversations. You're not doing that publicly, but this just kind of gets down to this point where I think the Wizards really need to weigh their options. You can say everything publicly of, like, we don't want to move him, we want to keep him, we're going to talk extension. Are you really? Like, are we really going to talk extension with Anthony Davis when he's going to be, what, 36 when a new deal starts with all of the injuries? 0% chance. That, look, the criticism for the Trae Young deal is one thing, but to then think that they're going to then go and flip and also do that with Anthony Davis, I mean, that would be psychotic. I also don't think the Trae Young deal is, like, a lot of this, like, oh, it's untradeable. It's not untradeable. Trae Young could have a great first year with the Wizards. They could decide that was enough, and there's a team that's willing to make that trade for Trae Young if his stock is high, and the Wizards want to go a little bit younger, and it's just, hey, we want to get a little bit younger, more opportunities for our younger guys. Now they're growing. I just don't think it's an untradeable contract with Trae Young. Yeah, he can't play any defense, but if he shoots the ball well in D.C., and it's 1 year, teams are going to be looking around saying, you know, he could add a lot of firepower to us, and the Wizards, it could be, we're still younger, you know, and, you know, this team's looking to win a championship now and convince them. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that you could convince another team that Trae Young is that missing piece, that missing scorer, that missing shooter that they need. I don't think it's a great deal. I wouldn't have done it, but the Wizards were also in a tough spot because he opted out. Had he opted in, you had a half a season up until the trade deadline to kind of evaluate what it looks like, and maybe you trade him around the deadline or before and, you know, get something significant for him. But they would have lost him to another team, and the thought process was, again, I'm playing devil's advocate. I would have probably let him walk, considering what it cost him to pay. But, you know, you make that trade, and then you get nothing in return for Trae Young. That's clearly was their mindset. So, but you're not going to commit $212 million to Trae Young and then also think you're going to sign Anthony Davis at his age. 28-year-old Anthony Davis, that's one thing. This is going to be eventually, once it kicks in, an extension would be 36-year-old Anthony Davis. I just don't think it's happening. And there's going to be other teams that'll be involved too, right? Portland's getting thrown around, and maybe they're still interested after all this. The Warriors have been there, and who knows? There could be a wild card team. What if the Timberwolves decide they want? This is the NBA. It doesn't have to always be logical. It's not always a logical situation where a trade happens. Again, if I told you that the Celtics would trade Jaylen Brown today for Paul George, 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks, you'd tell me I was crazy. And yet that's the trade we got today. So this notion that, like, you can't get anything for Anthony Davis or you can't turn around and trade Trae Young in a year and that's an untradeable contract is just, it's wrong. This is the NBA. Things don't always make sense. Sometimes guys get traded for more. Mikal Bridges got traded for what, like 6 first-round picks? I don't know if it was that many. Was it? Maybe it was 4. It was 4. But still, Mikal Bridges, I mean, he was fine with the Nets. I know what the Knicks were trying to do, and they won a championship, so it works out in the end. But guys get traded for things that don't make sense all the time. So the Wizards have a lot of leverage and a lot of moving parts that they can really accentuate here. Okay, almost the goal. Whew. I know I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to save it for the highlights, guys. But it's. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do this. I don't think I'm going to. All right, we're into the 17th minute, and it's a scoreless game. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Big news. I negotiated with Wes during the break, and we're not going to wait for a highlight of a goal. I'm just going to react as we should. I had to let him know that that was going to be the case. Put my foot down this time, Wes. You're not going to bully me.
Hey, I thought it was a good idea.
It was a good idea, but we can still play the highlight. But there's no way. I'm sitting here like.
I mean, you're a big soccer guy. You've been doing this your whole life.
First off, I will not take any of this snark right now from you, sir, okay? I will not accept that. I have admitted that I helicopter in for the World Cup, but I also grew up playing soccer. It's not like I don't know the game. I just, you know, it's just there's a difference here. So, by the way, it's a pausa de hidracion. I'm watching it on Peacock, which I, again, the Spanish call is great. Your assignment is to get both. We're going to need the Spanish call and the English call. It's very important that we have both.
Yeah. But it's, and we'll compare.
You know, we can compare, but I feel like the Spanish call always wins.
Of course.
It really does. You know, there's just something that's more exciting. We need somebody. Have you guys ever heard anybody calling in? Calling any soccer game, and it's an English call where they actually say goal. Like, I don't think anybody ever tries to even do that bit.
No, I can't think of one.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. You'd probably get made fun of and be like, that's not, you know, you can't do that. You're stealing the bit, but like, who cares? I mean, I don't know. It makes it more fun. Especially an American accent.
It's just not the same.
You're right. It just sounds the call is better in Spanish.
We'll stick to American football. We'll stick to base. We got Gus Johnson. They don't.
You know, that is a good point. Now, hear me out on this. Gus Johnson.
Yeah, but he would have the quickest goal. He'd be like, U.S. 1-0. That's it.
Doesn't he call soccer sometimes?
He used to. Like, right? He would call, like, Champions League. I feel like maybe, like, 8-10 years ago. I remember him doing that for Fox.
Man. Gus Johnson is. So I'm okay with like the overly excited play-by-play guys.
Me too.
Some people don't like it. I also like Gus Johnson's a good dude. Like I've met him a few times. Like so to me it's like a personal thing where I'm just like who he is on camera is who he is off camera, at least in my experience. Yeah. But like I'm all for that overly. I know sometimes he can be a little bit crazy, but like isn't that the point? Like when somebody, and I know people make fun of Joe Buck all the time so it's low-hanging fruit, but like Joe Buck at times
is fine.
He's fine, but sometimes he is boring. Sometimes there are times you're like, dude, you missed the call. Like, there's so much more excitement in that moment, and you just left so much energy on the table. I'd rather have, this is going to steal a line from the great John Thompson. He always had a line that he would say where it's, when he was coaching, but he would talk about this, you know, and it was, I'd rather calm a fool than raise a corpse. Like, he'd rather calm somebody down a little bit than have to get them amped up for a game when he's coaching, whatever. It's the same thing with play-by-play guys. I'd rather have them be like, maybe it's a little too much. I'd rather have Kevin Harlan, Gus Johnson, than a guy that sounds bored calling a game. To me, that just defeats the whole purpose. Then just don't give us any play-by-play. Just let us hear the crowd, and that's it. Then just don't say anything. I can't stand that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Gus Johnson's prime was probably 2017, around that time.
Sure,
I think
sure.
It's gone down a little bit. I remember the call between IU and Penn State.
Not an Ohio State story here. I'm proud of you.
No, it wasn't that. It was the one time that Big Noon wasn't at Ohio State. It was at Penn State, and IU came back and beat Penn State. It was a tough call. It seemed like his age was getting to him.
I mean, listen, we got another injury. Oh, let's sit down. Nope, just kidding. Everything's fine.
It was a game-winning touchdown pass. It was tough to listen to.
I'd have to, like, hear it to remember it. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But, like, I get it. You're not going to get every call right. It's just it's how it goes sometimes. All right, good. We're moving quickly. There's, like, this – you always think it's like, okay, is this going to drag on? Are we going to add an extra 5 minutes of stoppage time in this? We're still scoreless, though. Nil-nil, as they say.
Yeah, the U.S. has 53%. They just showed the possession. 53% of the time, the U.S. has it. When it's in contention is 24%. So they are dominating.
You know what? That's one thing that soccer misses, and I know they're trying to create more stuff like you just did, missing a lot of stats that tell the story. People like stats. People like the story being told through numbers, like as sports fans. Now, you couldn't sit there and just do that on like an entire show like this, but I think soccer misses some of that, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not sure when they pull up the momentum. I'm not sure how they grade that.
Yeah.
I guess right now, U.S. would have momentum, but I mean, someone's got to have momentum throughout the game.
Right.
Every part of the game. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have no idea how they measure momentum, but momentum is a fickle beast, as I always say, Wes. So it can swing quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
not sure.
But this is a game. Soccer is definitely a game. Like, there are certain sports where, like, momentum can swing very quickly. Basketball, it happens. I mean, we watch it in the NBA. No lead is safe. We saw that plenty in the playoffs. Soccer, certainly that way. I'd argue baseball, too. I feel like football has the lowest amount of momentum swings only because you can, like, drag out a possession.
Have possession.
Yeah. Like, you eat clock and you run the football and you can grind things out if you want to kind of hold on to whatever level of momentum it is that you have to a point. But basketball, it can swing. Soccer, it can swing. Baseball, too, because you can have, like, a third inning where you give up 5 runs and, you know, everything is just completely crushed.
Hey, man, you know what they say, a bloop and a blast and you're back in it.
I mean, it's true. That's the thing, though. So, I football's the sport that probably lacks the most, you know, quick momentum swings, but then you can make the argument one turnover swings things the other way. So, you know, listen, it's that way in every sport, but soccer definitely has one of those moments where, like,
that's,
you can just
be a
watch
penalty.
Watch the flow. Oh, you guys are ahead of us, or
it's
ahead of
not,
me. Let's
it's
see.
Not a penalty.
All right. Hold on. Let's see.
That's not.
Is that flow? Is that flow?
Yeah.
That's flow. Yes. Yep. Did they call a penalty?
No.
No, they didn't call it.
That was a dirty move, though.
That was kind of, yeah.
Let's see if
good
he gets
in
ball.
And out.
We're seeing the review. Right,
seeing the replay now.
All right, he's down. He's making a point. He's like, hold up. All right, let's see.
Looking.
He's definitely onside. They're showing that, so that's not an issue.
Oh,
that's a penalty.
Maybe we'll get a VAR review. We might.
Oh, that's absolutely a penalty.
There's no ball.
That's absolutely a penalty. No ball whatsoever there.
Ooh, let's see.
They gotta check this.
Maybe we get a
ball. Oh, yeah, he clipped him right on his shin.
Oh,
yeah, that's absolutely
a
penalty.
They're complaining to the ref, so we'll see.
No, they're
also
not. They're not
Nick, where are you on how many referees we should have in soccer? Do you like just the main one in the middle, or should we have one on each side of
it's
the field?
It's Bosnia ball.
I think you need more. They're making a Bosnia ball, aren't they?
Wow.
Man.
I want to know what the rules analyst says about this. That's some baloney.
Yeah, it is.
It's a baloney. Look at you. It was very G-rated of you. Good job. No penalty there. You know what? That kind of feels like let's have some restraint so we don't turn the momentum back to that again too early in this game. It kind of feels like a judgment call where the refs are like, let's let them play this thing out a little bit.
But that's in the box.
I know. And now, see, this is the thing here. U.S. can't play pissed because now we got a foul there.
And then eventually you get a yellow.
So now we're starting to see this happen where the U.S. just can't play pissed because you didn't get that penalty.
Yep.
Like, you can't. You start letting that bother you and playing, you know, yeah.
Talking about being a legend of soccer, today a similar situation happened with England on Harry Kane, and he ended up scoring 2 goals right after.
Right. So hopefully it's momentum, and Flo Balogun gets out there and gets a couple of goals in this and, you know, helps the legend of his, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so you guys are ahead of me. This is just going to be brutal.
Oh,
I don't care.
No, Nick. We got one, baby.
All right, let's see. Hold on. I'm behind. God, I'm like 20 seconds behind you guys. All right, let's go. Okay. All right, there you go. Right in front of that. Let's go. Oh, flow. There it is. Let's go.
They called offside.
Oh, and he did the LeBron and everything.
I know.
He did the LeBron celebration. Oh, no. Oh, so that's now 2 opportunities for a goal, or at least a PK and a goal.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's called for offside.
He
all
is
right.
Offside.
That's
gosh,
cool.
That
Let's
is
see.
A killer, man. That was so nice.
I mean, he was wide open. So they, yep. Yeah, he was.
Brutal.
It's close, but yeah. Oh, God, great footwork, too. All right, we regroup next. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. We are still scoreless. The refs are screwing us. I think they're from Bosnia. PK didn't happen. Offside. I know Flo Balogun was actually offside, but still. We're still scoreless. I thought, you know, I was excited. I thought we had an opportunity to celebrate a goal early, and then it gets called back. That's the one tough part about soccer, man. Offsides, you don't notice it in real time, and then they're calling it, and you get so excited, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, I thought we ruined it for you. Our mics are on.
If I may, I was told that I wasn't you wanted to have the highlight, and I wasn't supposed to live react on air. And I said, Wes, that ain't going to work, man. I ain't going to be able to do it. And then you guys were like, well, at least we'll know first so we can celebrate.
Not to have.
And you guys had the mics on, and you're in my ears celebrating a goal that didn't happen. So I think you're the problem. I just want to point that out.
We might be.
Maybe a little bit. But that's okay. Tonight is a loose night, okay? I'm just going to put that out there right now because at any moment, something could happen here. And there's literally nothing going on in sports besides the Jaylen Brown trade, which we've talked about a bunch already here. If you want to see a great outfit, check out Game Day Garage streaming on YouTube and X right now. Rob Brown has a very patriotic outfit. It is fantastic. We're in the 37th minute and still scoreless here. So, you know, no more trades in the NBA, though. We've not had that. So Jaylen Brown got traded earlier today, broke right before the show. Jaylen Brown goes to the Sixers. Paul George, 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks go to the Celtics. Not the trade we expected. Okay, U.S. had a chance there. Not the trade I think that a lot of Celtics fans were expecting. The venom on social media right now for this trade is something else. Nobody's happy with it. The one thing I will say, though, and you know, if you have somebody in a front office, and it's any sport, right? We had it for a while with Mike Rizzo, knowing he was working with one hand tied behind his back at times too. Look, there are general managers, team presidents, whatever, people in charge that you trust, and you just say in blank, we trust. Brad Stevens is a very good team builder. He was a great coach, great in front office. Now, I would not be surprised if this turns into something else for the Celtics. And maybe it's they flip a lot of that and they get themselves a star. But it feels like right now, when the Celtics lost Jason Tatum to that torn Achilles, they kind of looked around and said, this core group of guys we have, that's it. Like, that's done. You saw it. They're trading away a bunch of guys in the offseason. Drew Holiday gets traded, and Porzingis gets traded, and it's like, let's just clear cap space. And they were just going to mail it in this season, and then they accidentally won games. And then, you know, Jason Tatum comes back, and they get to the playoffs, and they're up 3-1, and then, of course, they lose to the Sixers, which is the team that they traded with. But it just feels like this team has accepted that core they had won a championship. Hey, it's great! Nothing. This is going to be a tough show. Any moment, anytime there's just something crossed in front of the net, Christian Pulisic there, just full patriotic here. Full patriotic.
Ugh. Yeah, that was we knew something was coming from you.
Yeah, you know you're going to get it. How much time ahead do you guys think
we're,
you are right
we're 30,
now?
Okay, we'll just do it. 39,
40. Are you looking at... Wait, do it again.
39, 44.
32. Okay. All right. So you're about 12 seconds ahead of me. Yep. That's not bad. It's not like 30. Streaming's gotten better. They're going to lower it down a little bit. You know, the lag is getting less and less as the technology gets better. And with YouTube TV, you can actually cut it back a little bit too, I think. Makes it hard to live bet games, though, when you're streaming. That's a little brutal for anybody that's interested in that.
I ain't going to lie. Someone missed an assignment on that play.
Let's see. They're showing the replay of this Pulisic cross again. I mean, right in front of the net, there was nobody there crashing that. You got to have everybody get. Yep. When you see him going down the end there, you put that ball right in the middle. You got to get somebody to get ahead on it.
That's spot.
Yeah. There was nobody there. Yeah, nobody there. So, still scoreless in the 40th minute now. So, I'm still thinking back to that PK opportunity.
I know.
That's the one thing, too, when you, like, you know, there are certain sports, right, where you can look and go, yeah, that play affected the game, but there's like 5 or 6 others. Soccer, it's a lot more of a fine line, you know? One goal called back for offsides, one PK that wasn't called, whatever. That's, like, that is much more of a glaring issue, right, that you can't overlook. Seems like they've calmed down.
Scoring a goal in soccer is probably 14 points in football.
Hold on, Flo Balogun just got hurt. What happened here? All right, well, they actually called a penalty. Sorry. So let's think of this formula. So one goal in soccer is worth 14 points in football. That's your analogy.
Gotta be.
I feel like this is a question for AI, but we might have to come up with a formula for it. Because I don't disagree, right? Like, you can win a game 1-0.
I mean, because you don't see, and that exactly, you don't see 7-0 games. You just don't. It's not, I mean, you do, you know what I mean?
What, in soccer or football?
In football.
Well, like, neither, really. You don't have them in either sport.
Well, I'm just saying 1-0. So I'm just doing like the math here.
Okay.
1-0 would be 7-0 in football, American football.
Okay.
That's just not a thing.
But the issue is most soccer games end like 2-1. So is that a 14-7 NFL game? Like, how often do we even see games that are 14-7?
That's why it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's probably no real formula for it. It's something like dog years where it's like 7, but then it... Yeah, then you drop down the number and it's, you know. But listen, I'm with you. One goal means so much more. If you're up 2-0 in a soccer game, like that's, and the other team's not scoring, you've got a pretty strong lead. You've got that insurance goal and you're in a really good spot.
And there in soccer, the defense is so much more important. Like winning on defense is such a thing in soccer. You win 2-0 and you're dominating on defense.
2-0, Wes. 2-0.
Sure. 2-0. If you're winning 2-0 in soccer and you're dominating on defense and you have possession 54% of the time, that is a 30. That's like a 38-14 game.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of see where you're going with that. Then, in terms of like the defensive dominance,
winning on defense is so huge in soccer.
Now, are we going to go by college football or are we going to go by NFL scores?
We're going to go by
Maxion. Are we going Maxion? Are we going Big 12? Are we going SEC? Which
We're
one,
going
guys?
Maxion.
All right, there you go. A little Maxion.
I love my 14-3 games in Maxion.
Oh God, do you really?
Yeah,
that's a tough.
That's
watch.
My Wednesday night.
Yeah, I know Peach is a Maxion guy. Peach is an everything college football guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm thinking pretty... like corners could be worth a point. You know what I mean? So like possibly. If you goal? Have yeah, it could be a field goal. Like a corner could be a field goal, maybe. As
yeah,
well.
Or is corner just like you're in the red zone?
That's why it's so tough.
That could be. See, too.
I feel like a corner is the equivalent of you're in the red zone because technically you're not scoring.
True. Yeah.
So
good
it's
call.
Like because there's just less scoring in soccer, we have to find the equivalent that doesn't involve an actual score. You know what I mean? Like a goal fine is worth a touchdown, 7 points. Well, touchdown and extra points, so 7 points. But then a corner is like, yeah, you're in the red zone. But then you could also argue that, you know, earlier when Flo Bolligan was inside the 18 and he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get the penalty called there. I mean, is that the red zone? You know, so it's like, again, this is really stupid, but we're watching a soccer game in the middle of the summer, so like, who cares? We're going to try to figure out this formula here because there's a lot of people that are going to go, huh, never thought about it that way. But I feel like I'm with you on like maybe a touchdown. Well, it's not even.
Maybe it's 10 points.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think it's more, Ken, because dog years aren't always 7. It drops down a little bit. It's like 7, and then after a few years, it's equivalent of like 5 or whatever it is. Oh, God, I can hear you guys. You're killing me right now. Killing me. But I can hear. All right, here we go. All right, my turn to get excited. All right, got a little attack here for the U.S. Chance inside. Oh, let's go. Let's go. Kill ball. You get it. Now we get it. Yes. Woo!
There better be no offside on that one.
I see no flags up. I see nothing there. I see somebody on Bosnia complaining. Doesn't matter. Flo gets his goal. Let's go. Guys, we got ourselves a goal-scoring superstar on this team. He's going to be the bigger. You know he's going to be a bigger star than Christian Pulisic, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it's not even going to be close. This kid is going to be an absolute star.
Dude, if they go deep, Jalen Brunson better watch out. I don't know if he's going to be the king of New York anymore. I kid, of course. But, I mean, he easily could have 2 goals. That was a great pass, though.
It
really
was.
Good. Such a big goal for them, too. Hopefully, minutes. Going to halftime with the lead, get that momentum. But, yeah, man.
Balogun's
a stud. I mean, we have never, ever had a striker this
no.
solid.
No,
he's amazing.
He is, I mean, and the fact that he could have played for England, and obviously he would get more of an opportunity here with the U.S., but he's showing, like, he's taking advantage of it, you know what I mean? That I think that's what's really the key here, is that he's somebody that's taking advantage of the opportunity versus, you know, where there's this hype around this guy that could have played for England, and he chose the U.S., and, you know, it's, oh, now we got somebody hurt again, of course. What is going on here? Oh, this might actually be a legit injury. Did they bang heads? The problem is you never see any of these injuries. They happen off ball, and then you come back, and you're like, well, what happened? Why is everybody down on the field? Why is everybody hurt? It's 1-0 U.S. We have 5 minutes of stoppage time in this first half, by the way, and it's going to be more now because two dudes are down. I can't even tell who it is. Is it No.
That's Adams.
No. Yeah, so he got – did he tangle up – he tangled up his legs with – I don't know, he's holding his head. I don't know. You never really know. It's like it could be 5 things every single time. It's just whatever may... They always grab their leg, even if it's not their leg. It's just like the signal of, I'm hurt. I don't even think we're going to get 5 minutes of stoppage.
Did you hear us shuffling around?
He could kind of hear us. You heard us make a little squeal, didn't you?
So here's what I heard. I heard, oh! Was that you, PJ?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. See, this is how I know I've worked with you for a long time, PJ. Because I know the hidden celebrations from you. And I just heard, oh!
because I'm like obviously reacting, and then yes. I'm like, oh wait, I don't want Nick to know, and then I'm like, darn.
It's like watching these videos of parents, like, right, dads that are celebrating. It was like we saw when the Knicks won a championship, or when, you know, even during these where it's like the kid's taking a nap and they're holding their child and they're celebrating silently. Yes. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, yeah. My future kid has absolutely no chance of sleeping if that happens. Zero.
Well, you've got practice, though. You got practice for the silent celebration.
That's true.
You know, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope Adams is okay.
Yeah. So this is actually like they've got people out on the field.
So how does Wes, how does it work? Like if he has to come out of the game, they can sub, right? Or they have to play with like 10 men for a minute or something, I think.
So he'll have to come out. If I'm them, I'm just taking him out.
Taking him out.
Because I want him to play in the second half.
Because if you keep him in the game, he has to stay out for a minute, correct?
Yeah, he's got to come out.
Yeah. Like, soccer's weird. I mean, how do they, why are we playing with 10 men? I mean, that could, like, decide a game.
That's what I don't like, because I was watching the Canada game when the Canadian player snapped his leg. It was a horrible injury. Mm. And you had to sub. They had to sub. They had to use one of their subs, even though the guy was disabled. Yeah. He couldn't walk.
Right.
His leg was snapped.
Right.
So that's the part of soccer I don't like. I think that if they didn't have another sub, then they'd have to play with 10 men. And I think that's unfair.
So why do we even limit subs? Like, I think that's stupid.
I think that's a good point, because if I'm good with limiting subs, as long as if you take a guy out, they can't come back in. So it doesn't matter anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you take out Pulisic, he's not coming back in. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I just think, honestly, I mean, you know, growing up, you played travel soccer and you're just subbed in and out. Like, it's just, you know, again, I've always thought that was stupid.
It looks like he's going to be good.
Looks like he's good, which is a great sign. He's up, moving around, jumping around. I mean, you would imagine he's got, you know, maybe
so he's gotta get
concussion symptoms or something.
I don't know. Yeah, they're getting him. They're taking him off the field. No, is he going to stay out there?
No, he's got to go off. He's got to go off.
Okay. They're just still
he's got to.
Check something. Yeah, he's getting checked out. Yeah, they're telling him he has to get off, and he's like, wait, what? So no, you got to get off.
They're going to play with 10 guys, so this is a big opportunity for Bosnia.
So, all right, so explain the rule again here then. So now Adams has to come off the field because he was down and hurt. So he's going to come off the field and has to be off for like at least a minute, and they play down a man so they don't sub him off.
Because they don't want to sub him off because he'll be done for the whole game.
Right. Which is brutal, man. I mean, like, you know, minutes a long time when you're playing with 10 guys.
It is.
It's kind of killing off. It's like low key killing off a power play in hockey, right? You got to.
That's the first thing I thought of was a power play. It's kind of what it is. Literally. You got to kill off the power play. You know?
So, I mean, sports do it, right? Like lacrosse does that too, and obviously hockey. So I guess it happens in other sports. I just, for some reason, like soccer. Oh, well, Adams is back out there. So
I'm looking at the rule right now. It says an injured player who receives on-field medical treatment must leave the field and wait on the sidelines for at least 1 minute before returning to play.
Yeah, so that's interesting that he got back on, but not going to complain about it.
Vasa will go long. Team Ream, only man there, able to steer it to Adams, flicks it along Tillman. He's got Balogun making a run off him. Can he get around to that ball? To the deflection, Balogun scores! Flo Balogun, first to react to the deflection. He'll do the LeBron celebration. It's 1-0 U.S.
There we are. 1-0 U.S. We're into the ninth minute of stoppage time in the first half. U.S. up over Bosnia. Some guy on Bosnia just took a knee to the head. He was falling down, landed right on a knee, and now we got one guy in Bosnia trying to fight someone. It's a whole thing. This game, I got a prediction now. This game's going to get heated in the second half. We've seen some moments already where dudes are getting really mad. I guess he's thinking one guy got pushed, and then he fell on and he hit his head on his knee. I don't know. Look, this has actually been a relatively physical game. Some fake injuries, but some real injuries, and this guy,
Just don't try.
Alajbegovic. I think I got it right. Was I close? Right? Alajbegovic? I think I said it right. Look, I've never heard the name, and I just tried to read it. I think I did a decent job,
okay.
Wes.
I'll give it to you.
All right. Give me something here.
There we go.
All right, there we go. Halftime. So halftime now, the U.S. is up 1-0 over Bosnia.
That works.
Should be 2. Should have at least had the penalty. Because he had one goal called offside, but you had Flo Balogun get a goal, had one called back, gets the second one, so it's 1-0, though. This is good. Look at this.
They
we
got real
coach.
Close when we were in break, too.
That was yes, they did. Yes, they did have another opportunity
the
there,
crossbar.
Too. So, look, they're attacking. Wes, do you have the halftime stats up for us? Can you give us some of the insight on where the momentum is in this?
I know. We can go to break here, and then we can do that. We come back.
All right, this is good. So yeah. We're going to have exactly where the momentum is for the U.S. and what we think is going to happen in the second half. Plus, how dumb were the Celtics with the trade they made for Jaylen Brown today? Nick Hashew on the Fan.